Good day or evening. I hope all is well with you. Welcome to Filling Your Soul, living with meaning and purpose through the wisdom of the Kabbalah. It is my pleasure to welcome Martha Childers as our guest speaker. Martha Childers is a multicultural psychotherapist in Kansas City with Childers Counseling Service. She specializes in helping couples, caregivers, and those who are grieving a loss. Welcome, Martha.
Thank you, Leah. Thanks so much for inviting me to join you today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Okay, so Martha, let us begin. My first question, in the Kabbalistic teachings, living a meaningful and purposeful life is a key concept. Can you please share your thoughts about living with meaning and purpose, and also, Martha, your personal journey that has led you to its fulfillment?
I love that question. Meaning is extremely important, and I believe is the fundamental reason for us to exist.
I so agree too.
In my journey, I love serving other people, and I think that's where I get most of my energy and being with other people and connecting with them. Martin Buber talks about this in his book, I and Thou, which I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with. And that connection with another person is what feeds my soul. When I was at midlife, I read an article, just a short one. I don't even remember if it was in a newspaper or a magazine that said to do something totally different at midlife in order to stave off the effects of dementia as we grow older. As a result of that, I started exploring within myself what it was that I wanted to do that was something totally different. And I encourage my clients to do this too when they're trying to find some new activity. And what I finally landed upon was to feel how I felt after or during activities throughout the day. And what I found was I have more energy when I'm helping other people. Of course, that's really tricky because we don't want to help other people to the point where we're exhausted. And that, in the popular parlance, would be codependency. But serving others and helping others and seeing their lives be better or more joyful is where I get my energy. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. So what you're saying is, as long as you don't enable them, as long as you help them in a way that they can help themselves, then that gives you energy because you're not drained, and then also because you're doing something beneficial for them.
Right. And also, yeah, and to not let it drain yourself too much. And yeah. I think that one of the things that I like about being a therapist is that people come to me. If they're able and willing to come in the door and sit down and be with me for 45 minutes, they're already in a place where they want to change in some way.
Yes.
As opposed to reaching out and saying, hey, you know, I know better how you should live your life. I don't like doing that. I think it's better to help people find their own way.
Yes, I agree. I don't like that concept of a guru role where one is greater than the other.
Right, right.
So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So you were mentioning that in midlife you decided you wanted to make some changes to make your brain become stronger. So I just wondered, so you were a therapist before that, you're saying, or was it, what was the shift when you said that there was you made a change?
Well, I worked in libraries for 38 years, most of the time as a librarian. And I knew that that wasn't something that I could or wanted to do past normal retirement age. And I knew that, therefore, I was looking for something completely different.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you loved what you did then, and then you grew into something else.
Correct.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing all this with us. And you're right. Living with meaning and purpose is just key to everything for us being here in our existence. I appreciate what, you know, your meaning, what that means to you. Martha, what tips can you offer to listeners that can teach and inspire them to connect to their passion and live their dreams?
I think the first step is to be aware of how we feel while we're doing something and after having done it. And if we have more energy afterwards, then that will guide us to our passions. If we have less energy, then that may be some mundane activity that we have to do, or it could be something that's draining us. So it's important to identify those. But I think that's the key to identifying our own personal passions.
That's interesting. You're saying it's kind of a gauge. Very interesting. Go ahead.
Right. And if we're doing something and it's draining us, or we feel bad afterwards, then that's a sign that that's maybe not a path to take. Of course, some things we have to do, like washing the dishes, which may or may not be draining depending on the person. But the key, I believe, and what I have found from my own experience, and this may not be the only way, it's a way that works. And this is one that I tell my clients, that when you want to identify your passions, feel how you're feeling when you're doing something and after you've done it. If you have more energy, that's a guidepost for passion and potentially our raison d'être, the reason that we're here, the path that we're intended to take.
It makes a lot of sense. Well, I think about the things that I love to do, and I'm sure everyone who's listening in, how we feel so energized when we do something that we love to do. And I'm wondering, when we do something that has meaning and purpose in our life, and I brought this up, maybe asked this question to other people who've come here to speak. During this time, people, you know, you get out of your comfort zone trying to figure out how to learn something. There's so many learning curves, and sometimes it feels almost like you're climbing a mountain. So,
right.
I just wondered about that. Yet, once you reach where you want to go, you do feel that energy. So I just wondered, you know, what you can share with people as they're going through something and going through the changes of getting out of their comfort zone and doing something that's going to really test their muscles, you know, their spiritual muscles or whatever muscles you want to call them, you know, what they can do to figure out, you know, am I being recharged here? Is this still my passion? Or, you know, what they can do to keep moving forward and not give up so that they stay the course and really get to where they want to go?
Well, I think it's very important to keep the ultimate goal in mind. For instance, when I went back to school to become a therapist, I had no idea how arduous and long that journey would be. I think if I had known before I started, I would have never done it at all. But I'm glad that I didn't know, because I'm very grateful to be on this end of it. I think it's very, very important to keep the ultimate goal in mind, because that will guide us through whatever journey we're taking. It's important to know that that is the goal that we really want and need. So that's why it's important to identify the passion first and what goal we want that comes out of that.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. No, thank you for that advice, because of course it's wonderful to enjoy the journey, but there's times when it becomes arduous, you know, difficult to do. So it's really nice to remember that you should remember about the goal and keep your vision on that goal.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. And so, Martha, my next question is, how can we all remain positive and continue to move forward in the face of personal inner and outer challenges that are part of the human condition?
Personally, I think the whole concept of being positive is overrated. It's important to feel the symphony of emotions that we human beings can experience. We will have moments of incredible darkness. We will have moments of incredible ecstasy and everything that's in between. And one thing that concerns me when I see it in our popular culture, the people pretending to be positive when they're feeling terrible. And it's okay to feel terrible. But the important thing to know is that there are people who can help us walk our journey.
Beautiful answer.
Thank you.
Because you're saying, just like we should honor our body, you know, kind of if we eat junk food, we don't feel well. We should honor our emotions and let them breathe and allow them to express themselves and not just to judge them and not to, like you're saying, if you notice them and you honor them, then you're not hiding them under a rug or whatever.
Exactly. And it's a journey. I love the movie Inside Out. I don't know if you've seen it, but it shows, it's a cartoon basically about a little girl, and it shows the inside of her brain in cartoon fashion. And they talk about mad, sad, glad, disgusted, scared, and all the emotions that she goes through and how they're balanced and how the brain is working in all of that. And I just love that movie, and I encourage some of my clients to watch that movie. That's their homework.
Yeah, it's an important thing to, because our emotions are there. Why not be aware of them? Why try to run away from them?
Right, because they're still there if we don't walk through them. That's the thing about grief. The grief journey is a very painful one. But fortunately, we can find people who are walk that journey with us.
Yeah, it's true. You know, the first stages of grief, when, you know, there's the kind of that period of denial. And many times people become disassociated with their feelings, and they never really grieve properly. And I mean, for me personally, I've held back in something that all of a sudden you'll think of a person that maybe passed or the situation, and then you realize that you're holding all this love in your heart that you have totally tucked away, and that's ridiculous. How can you hide something so beautiful? So I think what you're saying is it's important to particularly when grieving, but other times to really experience the feelings.
Exactly.
And you're saying by getting a support from therapists or perhaps other people, maybe some mentors or whatever, that this is how we can grow and heal.
Right, right. Or good friends. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it could be a pet. I mean, it could be a dog or a cat or a horse or nature. It can be all kinds of things, or some, you know, for a person's religious beliefs, the path that they're taking can be very comforting and helpful.
Right. And when I think about just the thought about crying or, you know, feeling sad about something or joyful, that the feelings of, you know, laughter or crying, they're so cleansing and purging.
It is so true. It is very important to cry.
Yeah. So
there's chemicals in the brain that cause depression. I mean, they're not the only chemicals or reasons for depression, but there's chemicals in the brain that will come out through the tears. And that's why it's so important to cry, because usually we feel better afterwards. It might be the next morning. And that's a lot of the reason we get those feelings out and those chemicals out of the brain.
And so another reason to face your emotions, and the fear of facing your emotions just causes the emotions to get worse, it seems.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And for people who meditate, I mean, I lived in Japan in my 20s, and so mindfulness has been integral to my life since then. One thing I like to tell my clients is that if you try to block a thought from your mind, it will just create a dam. So it's better to just let that thought go through the mind and observe it without judgment. Like Krishnamurti talks about, observe without judgment, to see that thought as it goes through the mind. Some people see them as clouds. Some people see them as birds. What I was taught was to see them as static on a radio. And then that helps clear the mind.
Oh, that's great advice. What you're saying is that instead of blocking it like a dam, let it flow through. And if it's something that isn't healthy for us, we've let it go through, and then we know not to revisit it or to let it in the door for the future.
Yeah, it's just gone. It'll just go. Or even if it does come back. Now, people who have had a traumatic experience, you know, it may take more than meditation to deal with those traumas, especially if they were seen or heard, but it can help.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Okay, so Martha, I really do appreciate your participation today, and I wondered if you have any last thoughts that you can leave with us.
Yeah, one thing I would like to say is that in our culture, we are taught that it's better to give than to receive, and I do believe that is true. Let's face it, it feels great to give, and it can make us a little nervous to receive. But it is very important to receive, which is very different from taking. But if we need help and we need somebody to talk to, or we're feeling lonely, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, that's a 12-step slogan. If you're hungry, eat. If you're angry, identify what expectation wasn't met. If you're lonely, reach out for someone. If you're tired, rest.
And this just helps a person so they don't feel like they're out of control. They feel hopeful that anything that comes their way, they can manage and they can become proactive and take care of it.
Right.
Which you're saying. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So that's very helpful. And thank you for those thoughts to leave with all of us. So Martha, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, I do have a website, childrenscounselingservice.com, and my phone number is 816-892-0803. I have an email, martha@childrenscounselingservice.com. There's also a link on my website. All of that information is on my website as well.
Wonderful. It was so great to meet you, Martha. I've heard some really great things about you and your interesting life, so I'm thrilled that I was able to finally catch up with you. And just I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us and sharing your knowledge, your insights, and your wisdom, and wishing you to continue in your good work helping people and with a lot of success, health, and happiness.
Well, thank you very much, Leah. I'm very grateful to you that you reached out to me, and I've enjoyed this connection.
Thank you. So be well. And for all of you who have been here and listened in, wishing you much success in your journey. And God willing, until we meet again, wishing you health, happiness, success, and blessings. And blessings to you too, Martha.
Thank you. Okay.